Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. The man of victory is arising in the earth. The Lord says, I have longed for a people who would be united in perfection since the onset of my ecclesia. I have looked for a people whose love would transcend all earthly and temporal satisfaction, who would willingly depart from the ways of a fallen creature and accept the new nature that I have placed within them and live out from it. I have sown my seed into the earthen vessels of humanity and have long waited for the harvest of righteousness to fill the earth. Understand my heart today. I am looking for quality, not quantity. I have all things. I need nothing in the concept of abundance. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Yet what I long for is a people who have been created in my image and likeness to come forth in all the glorious realities of the second man from heaven. My heart is to fellowship with those I have formed a relationship with, yet not the fellowship of a father and a child, but as a father with his son. And we're talking here non-gender, male, female. I am mustering up the man of war, the man of victory in this day. This man will have success, victory, conquest, and triumph in all his doings. This is the man that I have determined to refresh in this season. He is the man from above. He is the man of complete and perfect deliverance. He is the overcomer. He is the militant, triumphant church in the earth, dominating all forces of evil, gaining the victory in every contest. In the spirit, this man is seen as my beloved bride. For I am the head of this man. I am the covering, the masculine, the Adam of his existence. In the earth, this man is the head over the old Adam race. In the earth, this man is the dominant force. In the earth, all creation submits and yields. In the earth, all men see this man as the blessed and prosperous one. Yes, all creation is watching to see this man of victory come to power. For this man is the manifestation of the sons of God, who have been prepared before the foundations of the world, that in due season would come forth and deliver the creation from the bondage of corruption. Who then is this man of victory? It is the body of my love coming forth as a perfect whole, in whom I am in the midst thereof. This man is being revealed out of heaven. He is coming out of obscurity and is being revealed in Mount Zion. This man is alive in the earth today. He has come to the appointed time wherein all things are being summed up. This man lives in the acceptable year, the year and day of vengeance. He lives in the season of the twinkling of an eye. Here he is. He is here in the earth, being joined and formed together. Mighty deliverance has been accomplished in him. This man has yielded to all of my purposes and has crucified all internal resistance against my spirit. This man carries a cross, not on a banner, but in his heart. All of his own emotions, thoughts, desires, and will have been put on the cross, and I have poured into him all of my thoughts, desires, emotions, and will. He lives and moves by every breath from my mouth. He is led, guided, and directed perfectly in all situations. All things prosper in his presence. He is the man of victory that is ordained to slay the dragon in the sea. He is the one to whom Leviathan shall bow. He is most glorious, beautiful, shining with the light of my glory. He is a reflector of all my love and strength. Now I speak to this man and I say, it is time to arise. For the daughters of Jerusalem have not stirred thee before the time, for the time is now. Arise, my man of victory, for I am sending the rains to your land. The preparation time is through. The time to arise in the earth has come to be my ministers, my priests. The time has come to offer the incense of your prayers and to be honored in the earth. My priests shall have no shame. They shall shine as the brightness of the noonday and will have overcome every plot and strategy of the evil one to blemish them and put spots upon them. Yet I say that this man of victory that is alive this day has no spot. No blemish can be found in him. His strength is superior to Samson in his greatest day, yet without the blemish. He has the faith of Abraham, my friend, yet without the blemish. He has the wisdom of Solomon, yet without the blemish. He has the anointing of David, yet without the blemish. He is the man sent from heaven, whose head is the Christ. He is the fullness of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to him, he is in you, and the voice of the Father says to arise, come forth, man of victory, tread upon the scorpions, tread upon the serpents, tread upon the head of all the power of the enemy. Come forth and do what I have ordained you to do in this day. It is the third day, it is the seventh day, it is the day of redemption, it is the day of reformation, it is the day of the Lord. Arise, mighty man of war, rise and take the dominion, take the kingdom, sit up, take your seat. Rule and reign. Your time being spent on the backside of the mountain is through. It is time for your appearing. Surely you will hear my voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. That was a prophetic word that I wrote many, many years ago, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord say this morning, I want you to stir the man of victory that is on the air, that is listening right now to this message. It is time for that Christ in you, the hope of glory, to arise and shine, and to manifest forth. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You are born again. You are a new creation. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have been brought forth for a time like this to execute the judgment that has already been written. It is time for you to take your place in this world. It is time for you to take your place in the kingdom that is in the midst of this world. It is time for you to display, to outrage, to put on display the glory of God in your life. There is a work that the Lord has done on the inside of you since the day you accepted Christ into your heart, the day you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has been doing a work behind the scenes, and though you cannot consciously, mentally understand or even perceive this imperceptible work of the Holy Spirit, there has been a work. You are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, and it is time for the veil to be taken away and an overcomer to arise and manifest forth. We're not talking about gender here. We're not talking about males and females. We're talking about the body of Christ, where there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, but there is only Christ. Christ in your heart, manifesting forth, growing up, maturing, Christ in you. You have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are being conformed into the image of the firstborn son. This is the apostolic cry of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:19. Oh, little children, in whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. And that Christ formation is going to eclipse every lesser thing. The old nature is nailed to a cross. That weak, broken, anemic human nature, that rusty, cold, old human nature, that debunked, depraved, corrupt human nature no longer has any place in your life. For the new creation species has grown up on the inside of you, swallowing up all the lesser things. The man of God, the woman of God, arising right now. It is imperative. It is the time. We are going to witness on this earth more judgment. We are going to see more devastation. We are going to see more corruption, more death. But this is not a time for the people of God to hide, spiritually speaking. It is time to show forth the glory of the God who was strong in your life and on your behalf. I believe this with all of my heart, and I believe that very soon we're going to see something happen on our borders. I'm shifting right now. Something on our borders that we're going to have to be dealing with and we're going to have to reckon with, ladies and gentlemen. And I do believe that the border issue is in the Word of God. I want to read to you out of the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 11. And I want to read a few verses about, I believe this is prophetic. I believe this is what the Lord is saying. I believe that this is a timely word for right now, especially when I turn on the news and I see all the talk about what's going on in the border and at the border. So without further ado, let's get to the book of Ezekiel chapter 11. And I want to begin in verse 1. Ezekiel 11, 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looks eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. So here in the vision that Ezekiel was having, God showed him these leaders of the people. And verse 2 goes on to say, then said he unto me, son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. Oh, don't you think for a second that God does not see. And then verse 3, and here's what they say. It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. That's what they said. Therefore, verse 4, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. You have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your slain, whom you have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Now listen, here we go. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgments among you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border. of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 11, this city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall you be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. Twice he said in Ezekiel chapter 11, I will judge you in the border. I woke up this morning. I was in the Word of God. I was reading out of Ezekiel chapter 9, 10, 11, and then I saw twice this thing about the border. I turned on the news and everything is about shutting down the border. I believe God has given us another mystery, that there's going to be a judgment. My judgments, he says, I will judge you in the border. So I believe that the crisis is growing. They're treating it like a Cat 5 hurricane. I believe the eruption is ready to take place, and the man of God, the woman of God must be strong, and there must be a rising up of strength, for the battle is coming to the land. I also want to go back to chapter 9, because I found this is where we began today. And I heard in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now, that word there, destroying, is the mashkath or the mashkath, and it means a weapon that brings ruin or a weapon that brings destruction. So there are those that have rule over the city, charge over the city. I'm seeing Washington, D.C. very clearly in my spiritual understanding, and I've seen that there's a call for those to come forward, and they are to bring a destroying weapon in their hands. Verse 2, behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. They went in and stood beside the brazen altar. So there are seven men here, right? Six of them have slaughtering weapons. One of them has an inkhorn. Verse 3, the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. He called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them in verse 7, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And then verse 8, here comes the intercession of the prophet. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. The land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. Boy, you talk about abortion and homosexuality. There's your city full of blood and the homosexual perversion. For they say, here's what they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Now, you know, this is a very familiar story when we talk about the writer with the inkhorn. And we go back to the beginning or into the prophecy known as the book of Revelation. And we have a passage there in chapter 7 that deals with the mark of God upon the foreheads of a particular people group. And I want to go there to Revelation chapter 7. And I want to begin in verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, now this is immediately following the sixth seal in the book of Revelation. You'll remember that there were six seals in Revelation chapter 6 that were opened. We have ample evidence that the first five seals over a period of 2,000 years has opened. What we have not yet discovered is the evidence of the sixth seal. So many Bible prophecy teachers right now are believing that the sixth seal is the event that's going to lead us into the following prophecies concerning the end times. Now, that sixth seal, obvious, is about the great earthquake, heaven and earth shaking, men's hearts failing them, hiding in the rocks, the dens, the day of the Lord begins. And then it moves into chapter 7, verse 1, and after these things, after that sixth seal event where everything is shaken and moved out of its place, total upheavals, mountains, islands moved. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel. Here we go. This is like Ezekiel chapter 9. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And then he gives the number, the 144,000 were sealed. And if you connect this to Ezekiel chapter 9, the reason why they were sealed in Ezekiel chapter 9 is because they sighed and they cried for the abominations that were committed in the land. How many of you believe there are too many people walking through this moment, hunky-dory, everything's okay, they don't have any compunction, there is no sorrow, there is no grief for the evils that are being perpetrated, and we've been talking about them over and over and over again, and yet there is a people whose hearts are saddened, they are grieved by what they see going on in this earth, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they are desiring the glory of God to come into this earth, and the glory of Jesus Christ to come again into this earth, to take rule, to take authority, to take control. And there will be a governing power that will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We know that. And we are coming to this time right now where this wind, you notice it began with the four winds were being held back. There were four angels holding back the four winds. And every time in Bible prophecy where God releases winds upon the earth, it always seems to stir up the great sea of humanity. So the winds actually represent political and social agitations. And when political and social agitations are taking place around the world, like we see now at our border in Venezuela, what's going on in Paris, France, and around the world, when we see all these events, the sea of humanity is being stirred up. And then in the book of Daniel chapter 7, when the four winds were blowing on the great sea of humanity in the days of Daniel, he saw in a vision four beasts coming up out of the earth, one after the other. Well, in Revelation chapter 13, when these four winds of Revelation 7 are finally going to be released, and they will be after the sealing of the saints. Stay with me. In Revelation 7, it's all about the sealing of the 144,000, the first people group. The second people group in Revelation chapter 7 is an untold multitude no man could number. They are going into the great tribulation. In other words, they are going to be made white through the blood of the Lamb in the midst of the tribulation, because in Revelation 7, John saw them coming out of great tribulation, which means they were in it. The 144,000 will not be touched by it. And then you say, well, when do the four winds blow? When you get to Revelation chapter 8, there are angels that are given trumpets. And you know the only way to get a sound out of a trumpet is to blow wind through it, your breath. And so the first four trumpets are representative of the first four winds that are going to release judgments in the sun, moon, and stars, upon the waters, in the sea, and on the earth. It's all there, and it's all moving towards these winds blowing. Revelation 13, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. So in Daniel 7, There are winds blowing, social, political agitations, and four consecutive beasts rise. In Revelation, four winds blowing upon the sea of humanity in the last days, and a singular beast coming up out of that sea of humanity, and that's where the great tribulation begins. So where are we right now? Well, we believe, according to the prophecy, we could be wrong. We could be wrong. But we believe that because there's no evidence of that sixth seal, that we are awaiting this event, that massive earthquake that's going to move every mountain and island out of its place. Now, in March of 2011, we saw an earthquake in Japan that literally moved the island out of its place. There was another one, I believe it was in the Himalayas, that a massive earthquake moved it about a quarter of an inch out of its place. The mountain moved. And so in Revelation chapter 16, when the vials are poured out, the islands and the mountains are taken away. In Revelation chapter 6, the mountains and the islands are moved. And that just means that there's something of a major shaking, and we live in a time where everybody's talking about the overdue earthquake, and I believe a lot of people are waiting on that and preparing. But in the meantime, what we do is we prepare ourselves. We get ready for what is coming upon the earth, and yet we must be as bold as lions. We must manifest forth the sonship that is on the inside of us. That's where we are today. So the encouragement today to the body of Christ is to arise and shine. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorified God. Be unafraid of the times that we're living in. You have been well equipped with revelation. There has been an impartation of wisdom and knowledge about the times that we are in. None of us are without excuse. Our job is to then to work out a salvation with fear and trembling, to make sure that our spirit, soul, and body is intact, that we are aligned properly with the Lord. We have been carrying our cross. We have been putting to death the deeds of our flesh. We have been overcoming the trials in our lives. Every test that has come our way has been for the perfecting of our soul, for the cleansing of our cup from the inside out. Yes, they have been grueling experiences, but you know, if you're going to be a great warrior and you're going to go to battle, you have to have a great boot camp experience. You have to be properly trained. You have to be equipped and ready to go. And you can't just stat up as you go. You have to be trained in it. And you and I have been trained. Our generation has been under a very specific training for the days that we are living in. 2,000 years ago, that generation of God-fearing men and women who came to faith in Jesus Christ, they were a special generation. They received the coming of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the promises. What an amazing theme if you think about it. Those thousands and thousands and thousands of people and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands that began to come to the Lord at the beginning of the church age, and then during the last 2,000 years, all the reformations, all of the crusades, all of the different things, the inquisitions, all throughout the church age, the continual battle that has been fought in the spiritual realm against the powers of darkness, and yet the church has been handing the baton from one generation to the next. We have been in a race. We have been in a war since the church became a reality, and now we who are here at the end of 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 the ages are being given a mantle for a very specific task. And it's not just to get ready for the next generation to pass something off. I believe, along with many other people, we are the final generation. We are the people on planet Earth living in the end times, and we have a job to do. And here is the mystery. Not everybody is going to die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, Christ shall descend, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remaining shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, the promises of God for our generation are so real. We are living in the days of Noah. We are living in the days of Lot. We are living in the days of prophecy being fulfilled everywhere we turn. We cannot deny that we are that final generation, and we are in a great struggle right now, but I'm hearing the man of victory arising. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you today?
I am absolutely in awe. I cannot believe what I just heard. I have never heard this prophetic word that you have written. Can you please tell me when you did that?
Well, let's get a date on it. Let's see.
I was absolutely stunned by it. It is just so incredible that God used you in that manner, in that way. And it took my heart. And I thought, this, my goodness, is the time in which the Lord God Almighty wanted you to bring forth these prophetic words that he gave you.
2003.
We are now in 2019, and we are just absolutely needing to hear what was spoken of by God through you in these prophetic utterances, these words. And I just was so involved in hearing that we have this position now that I just couldn't forget the word overcomer. Overcomer is whom you were talking about, the overcomer. And as to the definition of the overcomer, I understand it best in light of what John says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And that's what I kept hearing in your prophetic word. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is he that you were speaking of who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And what do we overcome? The world, the flesh, and the devil. This is where we need to be now. And the other words I was hearing later as you were expressing the wall and the border by the time of Ezekiel, was it? In Ezekiel's
Ezekiel
time,
11, yeah.
11. I saw in my spirit the war beginning and outbreaking and ensuing right there, because judgment is hitting those who are lawbreakers. And I saw the work of the enemy trying to bust in, and I saw the hand of God being allowing or being removed from that which is going to take place right there on the border, and other countries being involved. It was all coming forth as you were speaking.
Amen. Patricia, you've been in a deliverance ministry for over 30 years now. You've written a book. You've been laboring in the body of Christ, one soul at a time, to counsel and to allow that anointing, that gift that God gave you, to minister, and there has been result. There has been good fruit in your ministry. But the day must come that all that work of deliverance now has to show itself as those who are the delivered, the overcomers. And here it is. The big question is, who will overcome the dragon? And in Job chapter 3, verse 8, where the word dragon first occurs, represents the word dragon there literally represents a super mundane power, the enemy of light, because he loves the darkness, and who in Eastern traditions is conceived as ready to swallow up sun and moon and plunge creation into the original chaos or darkness. We're dealing with a formidable foe when we're talking about the dragon. And however, in the book of Revelation, we're told that the fifth angel poured out his vial on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness, and men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. And this is where Satan has his advantage. Men who will not repent of what they have done against the Lord open themselves to attacks of the devil.
I see that even in the body of Christ, where they're covering up issues that are very deep and very serious, where Satan has a strong man, a stronghold in their life. And though they understand the things of the Lord, they are not allowing themselves to be set free from their bondage. And this is concerning, because we, as you had mentioned, are a people who desire to be overcomers. We are giving every opportunity in the body in which belongs to our particular church that they would become overcomers over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil. Three aspects of overcoming. And the overcomers in each church do so not by their actions, but rather their actions are an indication of their identification as an overcomer. John indicates that those who overcome do so by way of their relationship with God. As he said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Emphasis about knowing the Father. This is where the church is at this point. And I'm speaking of our own, too. We must fulfill the word of God. And the prophetic word you're giving forth is that warning. But also, it's success.
Absolutely. There is success and somebody's going to do it. And getting back to what you just said in John 14:15, our Lord simply says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what is repentance? Repentance is simply turning to God because you love him, because he first loved you, right? And this super mundane power, this dragon that occurs in the word of God, is a spiritual darkness among men that is being used by the beast, which they themselves sometimes realize they are being used. So the throne of the beast was given to him by the dragon. You see that in Revelation 13:2. And the dragon is the center source of where the beast gets his power. And the dragon is an emblem of Satan himself. So the pain of men arises from the darkness of their minds, the misgivings as to their future, and their sufferings under the plagues. And what are in the vials of Revelation 16 that are being poured out? Well, they are the divine judgments of God. These are plagues that are going to literally hit the mind of man. But Patricia, the good news is that in Isaiah, the dragon is going to be destroyed. And how is this to happen? Isaiah 27:1 says, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword, meaning the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. The Leviathan serpent is called the dragon, and Leviathan is that dragon to be slayed. And in the Hebrew translation, Leviathan means twisted or to twist. And I believe the serpent, the dragon, Satan, twists the truth and causes the darkness of people's minds. It's also a symbol of Babylon, which many think is happening in the United States today and around the world. So the dragon that is in the sea, Leviathan, is allowing the beast to rise out of the sea of humanity. And Patricia, this is the beast, a one-world government with lying and twisted deceptions, and yet the promise is that dragon will be slain.
He will be slain, but first he must be slain in our own life before we take the position, and that's where the overcomer comes, and that's where the promises, or who the promises are made to, is the overcomer. Again, of what? Your flesh. Overcoming the devil and the world in its ways. God has called us to that and made it very clear what that overcomer is like in your prophetic word earlier. And if we would grab hold of that, I honestly think that has to go viral. That has to go all over. People must grab hold of that prophetic word from God as to what the promises are in this time. And I'm asking, and I'm crying out to each and every one of us, be not deceived. The enemy is the great deceiver, not only in the world, but in our own lives as Christians. And we must have the hope of our calling and God's hope in calling each of us, that all his believers will also be overcomers. Those who love him supremely and daily choose to live by him and unto him. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life with him. Oh, people, please hear. It is no more time to cover up and be foolish. It is time to be clean and right with yourselves.
Patricia, you're talking, and right now this moment is a call to the dragon slayers. And if everybody would just use their sanctified imagination right now to see what really is being said in this prophetic utterance out of the book of Revelation about, and in Isaiah, about they're going to slay the dragon. Right now, seeing that Leviathan is that twisted serpent, that dragon, that devil, right? And because this dragon, he's a twister of truth. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He twists everything. You and I are living in a twisted society right now where they're calling good evil, evil good, darkness light, light darkness, bitter sweet, sweet bitter, right? We live in the twistedness. It's obvious by what we see that the dragon is operating in the United States of America. So then how will the dragon slayers arise and slay the dragon? Well, it's with their sharp sword. It is time for the overcomers to lift up their voice, to rebuke this twisted serpent and begin to make war with it. Now, that's a principality and power, if you ask me. And Patricia, it simply says in Revelation 13:1, I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, the political beast rises up out of a sea of people. This beast is a one-world government system with multiple heads, and many believe this represents the United Nations, empowered by Islam, heads, and the USA as a member. Horns are symbolic of powers or nations, and yet we see in Revelation 17:15, he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the whore sells herself out. The beast is also called the Antichrist, and those with political seats in the UN are Antichrist, meaning anyone that is other than Christ or anything that is other than Christ or against Christ. So the question is, how do we overcome the dragon who feeds the beast? I'll get to that in just a moment.
We do so by faith in Jesus Christ and his salvation, what he promised us. These are the things that he promised. In Revelation 2:26, he said, he who overcomes, which you were speaking of in the prophetic word that was given, and he who keeps my deeds, hear that? Keeps my deeds until the end, endurance, enduring to the end. To him, I will give authority over the nations. Come on. This is a promise to us. We're talking about authorities that are doing detrimental to the world over nations. We have been given, if we overcome, he will give authority over nations to us.
Patricia, you wrote in your book one day, in one of the chapters of your book, you said, if all of God's people upon this earth would rise up in one voice at the same time and say, Satan, you are bound in the name of Jesus, that angel would be released with the great chain and would bind him up. That season is on the way. There has not been a Unitarian call yet through the body of Christ calling for that binding of Satan. But you know, right now, we are sending through the airwaves the words of God. And when it comes to the question, how do we overcome this dragon? Well, in Revelation chapter 12, and I find this, now I wrote this years ago, right? But I find this, Revelation chapter 12 is the sign in the heavens that's already been there. The literal sign of Revelation 12 was in the sky in 2017. And here's what it says. They triumphed over him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Now, the numerous English translations say they overcome him, they triumph over him, they conquered him, they defeated him, they gained the victory over him, they won the victory over him. This pronouncement and declaration of victory over the devil is decisive. Someone's going to do it. They are going to do it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what it's all about in just a moment. Your thoughts.
The whole idea and the glory that is being talked about right there is that Jesus Christ already overcame the work of the evil one. So those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and the work that was done on the cross, the overcoming work that was done on the cross, that Satan has already been judged. All we need to do is execute that judgment by faith, knowing who we are in Christ. Revelation 3:12 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore." In other words, his position is stayed. He's not coming in and out with his emotions. He's staying strong and mighty, so is she, in the truth of the living God and in his word. "And I will write on him the names of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which came down out of heaven from my God, and my new name." He is in process of doing this right now. It's not in the great by and by. It is a procedure. And we need to be open to that understanding.
And Patricia, we are living right now at this very precise moment. We're just ending, you know, in the Hebrew calendar, we're coming to 5999. Next year is going to be 2020. I really believe, if I didn't know any better, I would really think that this time of transition that we've all been talking about, it's about a baby in the womb, that transition moment. This is all about a woman in Revelation chapter 12 that's giving birth to a man child. That woman is going into the wilderness. Okay, the child is being caught up to the throne. The dragon is angry, and he begins his 3.5 years of great tribulation. If I didn't know any better, I would think that God is actually telling his people, you have 1 year to complete the transition into the wilderness, The Great Tribulation is going to begin in 2020. It's going to last for 3.5 years. And the multitudes that are going to go into the Great Tribulation, they're going to have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. But the overcomers are not going to be touched by the Great Tribulation. And then I'd say right around 2024, we're going to see, if I didn't know any better, if I were going to write a book, I'd say 2024 is an impact moment for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nobody dares say that, and I get that. But boy, it is so rich. I believe God's giving us 1 year. That's why he's saying right now, make your request known to God. Get ready for the transition. All kinds of changes on the way, and there has to be a moment where God's overcomers go into the wilderness. That happens in Revelation 12. The sign was in the sky.
Well, you know, one of the things that are absolutely necessary to fulfill what you just said in this year, if it is this year, is to come out of the systems of this world. We must overcome the systems of this world by coming out of them and no longer allowing them to have a control over our life. And this is where the confusion is coming in. This is where the power of the enemy is coming in, by the beast system of this world. Come out of her, my people. Be no longer involved with the system of this world. Come out from her. And it also says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And what is that testimony? That they gave their life even unto death. In other words, their life, even when faced with death, they stood strong. But it also is the understanding that death to self is imperative. Death to our own desires, death to our own life as it was, that is the greatest death of all.
Amen. And we began this broadcast with a warning that God is going to judge at the border. I believe that a blood-shedding slaughter is about to happen in this country. I believe that the amount of blood that we have shed through abortion, the innocent blood, is about to be recompensed in this moment. I believe that the time that we are in right now is a marked moment for upheaval like we have never, ever seen before in the realm of violence, bloody violence. It is not going to be mild. I know we hold back from saying these things, but it is true. I believe that God says he's going to judge this country at its borders because we are a vile nation. And rather than just coming out of the system of this world, we also have to learn how to grieve, how to mourn, how to sigh and cry over the abominations that have been committed in this land if you really want to get the mark of the Lord. Patricia, there has not been enough weeping. There has not been enough lamentation. There has not been enough sighing and crying. And the majority of believers in this country, everybody's been enjoying the good life. They're not recognizing. They're not crying out. They're actually learning to tolerate compromise with what's going on. But God is saying a slaughtering weapon is being released, and it's going to take the lives of multitudes. And I know you don't necessarily like talking about that, but your thoughts.
Well, I do believe that which is happening on our border right now, the incidences that are taking place are going to open the door to world war. And I believe it's going to be the affliction against our nation and continue on. Yes.
Amen. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to open the telephone lines. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. We basically shared a general outline of what we're hearing and seeing. And we're going to open the lines. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And you press 1 on the dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. It looks like our dear friend Danny is calling in from area code 941. Let's take that call. Good morning, Dan. Yeah. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. God bless you. I would like to agree with you. And I think that the Bible tells us we should laugh with those who laugh and mourn with those who mourn. And to me, that's the true spirit of Christ and religion. And if what you're saying is true, and well, let me say, if what I'm saying is true, if what I believe that I heard from God 5 years ago, if the two witnesses are about to be revealed in the last days from Revelation, then the year 2024 is a very great and significant year. It's not popular to put years in place. God said we don't know the day or the hour. And so I fly along with that. But I have a question for you, if you don't mind me asking a question.
Not at all.
The Bible is complete, 66 books. But in certain New Testaments, little pocket Bibles, there's a story of Daniel slaying a dragon, and there's some sort of little stories in the middle. Can you tell me more about that, and what does that have to do with God's word? Is it God's word, if you know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never heard of Daniel slaying a dragon. I'm not recalling that at all. Is that extra biblical text? Well, no, not even David. Was that an extra biblical text, Dan, or is that in the book of Daniel?
It's extra. It's something in New Testament Bibles. It's like I don't know if it's like a Catholic edition or something, or where they get that or derive that from. But I'm forget what the name of that is. They call it something. It's got its own title. But there's a couple books that are under that title I found in the New Testament. Just a little small pocket Bible. Now, I've never seen it in a big Bible. I just haven't seen one myself, but you're not familiar with that, so I don't know.
What I think you're talking about. This is Daniel kills the dragon is in the what they call the, as you said, the Catholic edition, where in Daniel 14:23-42 there was also a great dragon which the Babylonians revered. And the king said to Daniel, you cannot deny that this is a living God, so worship him. And then Daniel said, of course, I will worship the Lord my God, for he is the living God. So, yeah, let's go a little bit further. There's all kinds of information on this. And it says in Daniel, let's see, 14:23, which is the Catholic version, there was also a great dragon, which the Babylonians revered. The king said to Daniel, you cannot deny that this is a living God, so worship him. Daniel said, I will worship the Lord my God, for he is the living God. But if you, O king, will give me permission, I will slay the dragon without sword or club. Then the king said, I give you permission. So then Daniel took pitch, fat, and hair, boiled them together, made cakes, which he fed to the dragon. The dragon ate them and burst open. And Daniel said, see what you have been worshiping. And when the Babylonians heard it, they were very indignant. They conspired against the king, saying the king has become a Jew. He has destroyed Bel, the slain and slain the dragon and slaughtered the priest. So, yeah, there is a story there. I've never heard of it before, but there it is.
That's the story, yeah. But that's a story. That's all that is, right? That's not true. I mean, that's not biblical. That's a story. It's encouraging, but that's not the word of God. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, the book of Enoch was quoted by Jesus, Jude, and Peter. So people refer to the book of Enoch, even though it was not put into the canon of scripture. And because when definitely Jude refers to it, and Peter definitely refers, and Jesus refers. So three refer to the book. So people said, well, let's look at the authority, the authenticity, the value of this book. And they did. They studied it. But I stick to the word of God personally, and it's not because I'm afraid or have any phobias about looking beyond, but I think there's enough revelation in the 66 books of the Bible to guide us all the way into heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for answering my question. That clears a lot up. Thank you again. God bless you.
God bless you, Danny. Very kind. All right. The number to call if you have any questions or comments about today's broadcast is 818-369-0326. We've got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. And if you have a comment, we'd look forward to hearing from you. Just press 1 on your dial pad if you're listening to the program on the phone. Patricia.
Yes. You know, it's interesting how in the times we're in, many other things are coming up with other books that have been written that have not been involved with the books of the Bible that we read, that have not been included by the council that was in England. So what we see here is a situation where the enemy is trying to pull us into other thought patterns. And we have to be very aware by the Holy Spirit how we think and what we believe. This is a time to understand by the Holy Spirit what is truth and what is not. So I'm glad that came up.
Well, absolutely. And we have a terrific amount of calls right now, and yet there's not any outreach from the phone calls, which is good. That means that we're sharing things that are very important. So if we were to take the next 2 minutes and kind of consolidate what we've talked about today, Patricia, what do you hear in totality?
Well, what I hear in totality were two things. Again, you were calling out, blowing the trumpet in Zion and calling the overcomers to come together as the unit of God, the power of God in the times we're in. That is definitely true, I believe, from what I heard you read. And it just was absolutely incredible. The second thing is the warning of what is happening to our borders right now and how that is going to open the door to much destruction, either to the ones coming in or to the ones that are in the other side of either side of the border. And the reason I believe it is going to be destructive is because it appears to me that the conflict is definitely being done to open the door to world war. I can see it in that manner. I can see all are standing before the border, the planes that are going over and above, and what will happen once he shuts them down. And you know what? It has been prophesied to be, therefore, let it come. Do not be afraid. Just become the overcomer that God called you to be, to make you a pillar in his temple.
Wow, that's imperative to be that pillar, to stand right now, having done all to stand, stand full armor of God on, fearless, bold as lions. All over the world today, ladies and gentlemen, there is turmoil. And that heat is being turned up, and we're seeing the boiling pot once again. There are those that are viewing the condition of the world from afar, if you will, waiting for their moment of opportunity to pounce. I believe that the house of David must rise. It says in Zechariah 12:8 that those who are most feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, even as the angel of the Lord. I believe for a supernatural unction and anointing and a divine empowerment that's coming to the inward parts of your existence, and it's time to get strong, be led by the Holy Spirit. Do not fear. Do not weep or mourn. Do not spare. Do not let your eye pity. It's time to slay the dragon in the sea. Patricia, final 5 seconds.
Thank you. I want to just proclaim, and I want to ask deeply and sincerely, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That day is here. Please do not cover your sin. You know that there is sin in your heart, either jealousy. You know, it's not going to be like I go out and commit murder at this time. The enemy is too clever for that. But he'll place within your heart jealousy. He'll place within your heart fear. He'll place within your heart desire to be greater than the next. Please watch your heart. This is a time like no other to do so.
Well, amen to that. And you know what's so cool about this radio station? You know, we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio right now, but we also have a 24 hours, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. That all those messages that we're uploading and we're putting out there, I spoke yesterday, by the way, with Pastor Justin Hoke. And if you recall Justin Hoke, he was the pastor in Northern California who put a sign outside his church that said, Bruce Jenner is still a man. And he was protested by the LGBTQ community, and his church was shaken greatly. I talked to him yesterday, or with him yesterday. He told me the story that many members of the church got afraid of the protest and they left the church, but they didn't just leave the church. They actually went to the board of directors and complained, and he was held to account, and he stood his ground, but the pressure was coming, and he just got sick and tired of it, and one day he said, I quit, I give up. 24 hours later, he said, you know what, I really regret that decision. I want to come back, and when he went back, they said it was too late, so he is leaving Northern California. He'll be heading into the Midwest. He's going to be starting a ministry. Pray for his health. Why do I say that? Because the great shaking is coming. You see, God shook that church to see what branches were really bearing fruit. When you get afraid because people are protesting you because you're not following the order of the day with toleration, and quite frankly, that protest probably wouldn't have gone over very well here in Northwest Arkansas, and I say that very humbly, but I just kind of know the people that belong to this region, and that probably wasn't going to happen. But it did in California, the land of fruits and nuts. So pray for Pastor Justin Hoke, and pray for his health and family. And we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And what I'm going to do is put Justin Hoke's messages, especially his final sermon while this was all going on the Omega Radio Network. We want to thank you for your continued prayers and blessings for this radio station. Up next on the Omega Radio Network, which is www.omegaradio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier leads a roundtable discussion, and it literally talking about to be an overcomer. To be an overcomer. I'm going to play that right now. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody till we meet again tomorrow. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Shalom and God bless.